All right, I said the Lord is good. If you believe the Lord is good, give me a loud amen.
Amen.
Okay, now let's get into our study for today. Now let's read Genesis chapter 1. It says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2 says, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. He called the light day, and then evening, morning, the first day. Then he said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. The expanse and all of that. And then he called these days, and then if you keep on reading, at the end of everything, let me just jump down because of time. At the end of everything, in verse 31, the Bible said that God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, and that was the sixth day. Now what I want us to bear in mind again, just like a review for the things that we have said, is that God is very powerful. We know that. We know he has all the wisdom of this earth. Do you understand the point? And he could have just said, let the earth bring forth all that it contains. Because the Bible said the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, all that it contains. And then we say, and it was so. Now please, but God did not do that. What did he do? He started by breaking things down one by one. And I explained that shows us that there is a wisdom in what he was doing. Do you understand the point? It wasn't just, you know, the Bible says, when we read from, what do you call it now? The book of Proverbs. He explained that at the time of creation, wisdom said, I was beside him in creation, and I was daily his delight. Now, this is the point I'm making. That God created by using wisdom, and he knew that one step had to go forth before another. He didn't just let the earth come forth with all that it contains. No, he took it one by one. And I made a point which I want to review again. And that's the fact that he has something in mind when he will say, let this be. And then that's why he will check. Now, when he was looking, and the Bible said that thing that he did was good, he was actually checking that what he said, all right, had produced according to the pattern he had in his mind. Now, don't forget what I said about words. There's what the Bible calls clanging cymbal, all right? You have, like we said in English, an empty barrel. What's an empty barrel, scriptural speaking? An empty barrel is the man who says, it is well. When deep inside his heart, he does not know the meaning of it is well. He does not really believe it is well, but he says it is well because that's what they said in church, everybody should say. Do you understand the point I'm making? That's why when I say this, I've said it so many times, it feels like a joke, but that is actually true. That sometimes when we are praising God, we say, O thou God that dwellest in light inapproachable. And God is saying, do you know the meaning of light not being approachable? Do you understand my point? Have you ever seen light that cannot be approached? Do you understand the concept of light being unapproachable? Let me explain what that means. It means that your praise, that expression in that praise, did not go beyond your ceiling. Only you heard it. Because you see, God does not use our airways for transmission. It's what emanates from inside your spirit actually that he hears. I hope you're getting my point. Therefore, when he said at the beginning, light be, what happened was that there was a fullness in his heart. And that was what was expressed by the things that came out of his mouth. So we established that when he said, when the Bible said that the Spirit of God moved over the surface of the waters, that what he was doing was to assess the situation and decide what was the first thing that he wanted to do about the situation. He didn't just start talking. He first decided, this is what I want to do about the events of the earth. And then when he said, this is what I want to do, this is what will come out of the things that I have done. When will I will have done it? So he said, light be. It was an overflow of what was inside his heart. Because there are two things I want to talk about today. Number one is that concept of full persuasion. Are you getting my point? That is, we must understand how one comes to full persuasion. There is something that God is doing. That's number two. And that's number one. Then number two is what the Bible means when it said Abraham contemplated his body. But with regard to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Those are the two things I want to explain. But we have to bear this one in mind before we get down to that. That is, it is what is inside your heart really that you can speak out. and it will have effect. That's why people go to church, they can repeat anything that is said in church, it doesn't have any effect. That was why those sons of Sceva went to go and cast out demons. They looked at the demons and said, "We cast you out in the name of Jesus, whom Paul understands, the concept behind the name, who Paul is able to appreciate what that name means. But we believe that once you just chant the name, it's like a mantra. It should work." Do you understand? They said, "We cast you out in the name of Paul, of God, of Jesus Christ, whom Paul preaches." And the people said, "Paul, we know. Jesus Christ, we know. All right? But you, there is no weight inside your words. When you say Jesus, it doesn't have any concept inside you. That's why you can say, in the name of Jesus Christ in English, it works. You go to Hausa and say, Achiku Suna Yesu, it works. You go to the Spanish man, will tell you, Jesus. And we are all saying the same thing. Are you getting my point? Whether the demon was created in Bangladesh or it was made in Rwanda makes no difference. Whichever language, if the demon possessed does not understand English and the pastor preaching, are you getting my point? Speaks another language from the one that guy understands. You know, maybe like pastor speaking English and the demon possessed man speaks only Fufude. That's Fulani language, all right? It doesn't make any difference. The reason being that it is not the words, it is what is emanating out of the spirit of the man that is uttering for those words. So when we say Jesus, what we mean is very, very clear. Everybody has come to understand that whichever language you use to describe him, if you call him Isa, fine. If you like, call him Joshua. Once we understand that it is that Jesus that was born of the Virgin Mary, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, who was crucified, and who on the third day rose up again from the dead. Listen to me, if somebody had delivered a New Testament in which they wrongly spelled his name, it would have made no difference. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? It would not make any difference. You could have mistakenly said, he called him John. And we'd be going around saying, the name of John, come out. All the demons would have come out. Because when we are saying John, the spirit understands who we are referring to. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? And that's what we must understand about the power of words. I will talk about that today. It's not just words that you speak. Learning the right words. Learning, you know, the correct things to say. You know, if you want to go to church, say this well. I have seen a man preaching on TV. He says, "Tell your neighbor, it is well." I say, "You don't believe what you are saying." He's not a preacher, he's a clown. He says, "Tell your neighbor, it is well. Touch your neighbor, touch people." And I say, "It is well." I say, "This one is not a Christian, he's not born again, nothing. He's just, you know." So it is not just the words you use, it's what is contained behind those words. That's why the Spirit of God brooded. He was brooding upon the surface of the waters, contemplating the situation. And I talked about that about two meetings ago, what I call contemplating the mess. You must know exactly what is the issue. Open your Bible quickly to Romans chapter 4. What I'm talking about today is that the process of full persuasion, okay, and the promise of God. Let's put it that way around. The promise of God and the process of full persuasion. Or let's make it shorter. The promise of God and full persuasion. That's good, right? All right, the book of Romans chapter 4. I want to bring out something for us to understand. I've commented on this here and there. Let me start from verse 16. The Bible says, "For this reason it is by faith that it might be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, that is, Jews, Gentiles, and every nation of this earth, descendants of Ishmael, the descendants of Isaac, and everyone that believes by faith." He said, Abraham is the father of everybody. He said, "As it is written," this is a proof for that, "a father of many nations have I made you." The Bible said that this faith was in the presence of him who he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist, or beautifully put in King James, that calls those things that be not as though they were. He said, concerning this faith, verse 18, "Abraham, in hope against hope, he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be." Please, this is where I was going. Verse 19, "Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, And he also contemplated the deadness of Sarah's womb. He said, while contemplating these two, verse 20, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully assured, please, King James, I love the expression there. He said, I'm being fully what? Persuaded. Why I like that expression is because persuasion shows us that there was a process. That is, he had to be convinced. A thing will happen, another thing will happen to put things together to bring him to the position in which he was just absolutely certain. Are you getting my point? So he said, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was reckoned, he said, it was also credited to him as righteousness. Let me stop there because my emphasis is on the process in the life of Abraham. Please notice something here. And that's the fact that the Bible talks about two kinds of hope. I can't say this thing enough. You know, one of the reasons why I have to say some of these things again and again is that you say something once, somebody goes out and hears another thing 100 times. He tends to forget that which you said once. Now, that's not ideal, but at least let's help the people a bit and say the right things again and again. Are you getting my point? All right. Now, we said there are two kinds of hope in this situation. First, what is hope? Hope is that expectation that you have because you have information. If I called you, Ubon, where are you? He says, sir, I'm at the airport. I'm on my way back to Enugu. We need to see. Yes, I'm boarding the flight now. I think we should take off any time from now. I expect you in Enugu in 1 hour. All right? So, somebody now come and say, this is serious. The key is with Ubon. What are we going to do? I'll tell the person, no, don't worry. He'll be here in 1 hour. How do I know he'll be here in 1 hour? Because he told me, I'm boarding the flight right now. Now, so that's hope. Hope is not a wish. Yes, I want him to be here because the key to a particular thing that we need is with him. But that's not what hope is. That's wish. That's a desire. Hope is that I have information to show that he will be here in 1 hour. So somebody will ask me, how are you sure he'll be here in 1 hour? You see, I just finished speaking with him and he said he was on a plane and they were about to take off. And the brother said, all right, maybe we should go and wait for him at the airport. Are you getting my point? That's what? A hope. Now, so Abraham had the hope. What's that hope? You are old and your wife is old, therefore you can't have children. That's one hope. Now, I've taken time to explain so that we will understand that that hope does not mean you like it. It is not necessarily in agreement with your desire, but it's what a solid conclusion which you have come to by reason of the information that you were given. You get the point. Now, but then, this is the second part of it. It said, against hope, he believed in hope. That is, there was another hope, and that one came from believing the word of God, because he said, according to what has been spoken, so shall your descendants be. That is, God gave him another word, and that created for him another expectation. Now, I want to understand something, please. That's why I'm reading this. Because I talked about, now, there's the next line, verse 19. He said, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body. Please, let me say this again. When we read from Genesis chapter 1, and the Bible said the earth was without form and it was void, the Spirit of God was contemplating what was wrong with the earth. The typical Nigerian behavior, which is actually a reflection of a natural human being, is that the earth is without form and it is void. But we have heard that Mars is with form and it's not void. Are you getting my point? Or Jupiter has been well created. All right, therefore, let us go to Jupiter. Let's go to Mars. And peradventure, we'll get there and find it also formless and void. We'll move on to Neptune. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? We'll just keep moving. But God didn't do that. He settled down, looked at the situation. That's what I'm talking about. He contemplated, I've explained this before, I'm sure you are aware of that. He contemplated the situation. What is the problem? They said that, okay, between now and next year, if I don't pass this course and this course and this course, I will be out of school. Now, get what I'm going to say. He contemplated the problem. They said, between now and now, if I don't pay this amount of money, they are going to take my house, they are going to take my car. Are you getting my point? I'm going to become homeless. The typical faith behavior, which we taught, maybe people taught us that, or we just wrongly assumed that's what they were saying. The typical faith behavior is that they say, sir, they say in 5 days, they are going to recover your house. I said, no, I don't want to hear that, you know. I don't want to see it. You follow my point? I don't want to see it. I'm a man of faith. I don't see the things that are negative. I don't look at them at all. I don't let the devil tell me anything. I remember when we were in school those days, people preach this kind of faith. Now, I mean, College of Medicine, which I was in, we didn't do the course system. But most of the rest of the school, virtually all the rest of the school did what they call the course system. You know what they call the course system? Course system in the university. You do chemistry 101, chemistry 102, physics 101, physics 102, that's a set of courses. Then you pass physics 101, it qualifies you to do physics 103, physics 201 next semester, something like that. So you have to pass one course, all right, before you move to another one. And peradventure, you don't pass that course. You don't have to do the whole of physics. You just go and take physics 102, if that's the one you didn't pass, and you repeat it. Now, I had friends then, many people, very, very common on campus, when people were learning the word of faith, they will say, I have believed God that I am going to pass this exam. Therefore, they will read. And then most of them didn't read anyway. I remember they didn't bother reading. It was not necessary. It was the arm of flesh. It normally will fail you. They said, arm of flesh is reading. Why do you want to work hard to pass? Because if you had faith, you would just close your eyes and everything will be all right. Okay. But then they remember to go for the exams because they use arm of flesh to go for the exam because they didn't have the arm of flesh you're studying beforehand. They will not come out and tell you that. They will not hear and say, results are out. They say, what am I going to check? There's no point. I don't need to check it. I'm a man of faith. I don't need to go to the board. I have friends who had, serious problems just because they wouldn't go to the board and look. I'm explaining today that the Bible says that Abraham contemplated the issue. I remember one sister came to me. I've shared it with you before about the working of the word of God. Then I had, now, if I tell you how old I was, then you will understand. The sister came to me and said, please, sir. I said, what's the problem? I just saw my results. And they are withdrawing me out of the faculty. He said, pray for me. She was crying. So I just said, all right, it is well. That is like, my God, how am I going to handle this situation? This lady has come to me with a serious problem. How am I going to handle this situation? I said, it is well. Don't worry. What's your room number? She told me. I said, okay, tomorrow, around maybe 6 o'clock in the evening, I'll come to your room. I'll come and visit you. Is that okay? Now, the idea was, go away while I try to think about how to respond. And that day I went home. Dear God. No, you know, if you had just come to inform me, say, see the problem, but it's all right, Sha. I would have felt better. This one, she was, you know, the whole day. In fact, the eyes were shrunken because the water inside had been used for tears. And then outside was swollen. So I went there next day, like, because I promised. I still remember very well. It was the Spirit of God. I just went in, sat down, and I began to talk. In fact, she was waiting. That is, you know, somebody was waiting. She didn't go anywhere until I came. So as soon as I sat down, we prayed a bit, and I began to talk. I can't remember what I said. All I know, I kept talking. As I was talking, her face was lightening up. The Bible said they looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were no longer ashamed. Her face was just brightening up. By the time I was leaving, she was laughing. She was laughing and laughing, and I left, you know, and they can't do more than what I have done. I just left. Cut the long story short, much later she came to me one day. This is the same fellowship. And walked up to me that she just wanted to know what happened. Okay, yes, what happened? That the dean of the faculty gave a special concession to them that if they can do this and do this, they will not run off of the faculty. So she has this time to accomplish this and that, pass this course, pass that course, and then she will be okay. I said, well, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's just in my mind. Now, I'm going to explain something here. She looked at the problem, and then I went to her with the promise of God. Are you getting my point? It's not to just close her eyes. That's what Christians think faith is. No, I don't want to know how much I'm owing. I don't want to know. I'm a businessman. I have covenant with God. I don't want to know. It is wrong. It's madness. Are you getting my point? Faith is that you contemplate the problem, brood over it, because it's as you are looking at it that the Spirit of God begins to build a new picture in your mind. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? I was going to say, Maker, today, you know, as soon as we hung up those two speakers, I said, now, wow, as everything that we have thought about has come to pass, this year, you know, I said, we'll get cameras to do this. You know the interesting thing? Before the year ended, we have gotten everything. We have gotten two cameras, two Sony professional cameras, video cameras. We have you can see it. I said to my wife, let's use this before the year ends. Two speakers, enough to carry, crowd.
He can pump up more volume than this. It's, you know, we have. I just looked at the evangelist to the maker. I said, it has actually come to pass. They are on stands. I said, in my mind, when I used to see it, I used to see them on stands. But I didn't think about buying stands. But I went with a man who's a professional. He has a praise ministry. He said, bank, we'll buy stands now. I said, it's true. So we paid 11,000 naira extra to get two stands. Now, get what I'm going to say. It was something that was inside the mind. Listen, before the year ended, literally, we have everything, including very expensive microphones that we used to wish for. No, listen, we have them. We have bought every single thing. And I just told this maker today, I said, do you know that these things have come to pass as I had them in mind? And you hear me say that we are going to get two cameras. When I'm saying it, we didn't have... You know how much those two cameras cost us? $5,000 for the two of them. And we'll be telling you, we didn't have money. We didn't have. No, it's a matter of fact. Say, where did the money come from, Pastor? I will tell you where it came from, so that you know the way ministries are run. No, it's true. It's true. You know, sometimes people think that, this man of God must have a lot of money. You know? The way it happens is simple. People just say, maybe as we're just talking, somebody just came up to me one of those days, and just, Pastor, no, we must buy the camera. We must buy the camera. I said, that's very good. And the person left. By the time the fellow left, I looked. There was a 25,000 naira bundle with which I was hearing, we must buy the camera. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's how it works. Somebody just wake up and say, Pastor, I've been so blessed by these words. And the person sends you maybe 200,000. Now, that was what happened. Do you follow my point? All of us contribute. Don't think that Pastor Mark is running the ministry. As a family, there's a way we contribute to the work also. It's not just wake up in the morning and say, maybe we need money now. Yeah, bring money. No. That's just by the way. So what we just did, I just realized that as we have thought about it, now, why did I think about the things like that? Now, when we used to use my home appliance, you know, it was working well initially. If you know where we started from, you know how far we have gone. But the first time we had the seminar, after hooking all our speakers up, when 150 people jammed into here and there, when I said, praise the Lord, I couldn't hear myself. You know, those speakers were loud before. I didn't know human flesh, they soak sound. I said, guys, what's happening? They say, Pastor, the speaker is on the floor. Let's raise it up. So we went and raised the speaker. I shouted throughout the first seminar we had so that people will hear. I knew we couldn't continue like that. Are you getting my point? And the day we bought this other microphone, we plugged into the other system. When we shouted, praise the Lord, the amp stopped working. It just went off. I had to rush back home. That's when I went to get the other appliance that I had to replace that one. Now, what I'm trying to say is that it's as we're contemplating the mess that was coming up, that wisdom was coming concerning what we needed. And then we now say, we will do this. All right? Let me explain that again. It's not every time that you will say, ooh, light be. Are you getting what I'm saying? And then light is. No. Sometimes you just express that, the way this power failure is going on, to run an effective ministry, we will need, you know, you thought about it, so we need a 25 kVA generator. So one day, as you are talking, someone said, how was your program? Said, it was nice, but power failure really messed us up. So you say, for that reason, we are going to buy a 25 kVA generator. And that's it. The word has gone into the air. Are you getting my point? And Bible says, and light was. What happens is that word goes forth. You don't know the time limit. Even with God's own, we don't know exactly how long it took in our normal time. But one thing we know is that it happened. Do you follow my point? And I said something also. Let me just say it again. Sometimes along the line, God, the Bible says that God looked and it was good. Now, get my point. God looked and it was what? Good. You not say, that's because it was God, it was always good. No, there was a time he looked. And you know what he said? It is not good. You know that? After everything he looked, he said, it is not good that man is like this. Before he had been saying, it is good. So sometimes you say something. And one thing happened, and you look. Maybe you say, we'll get a 25 kVA generator. So one day, somebody wheels a 15 kVA generator in and says, sir, my friend and I said we should bring this one. We saw it somewhere. It's going for a very good price. So we think that you will like it. Maybe ministry can pay for it. So you look at it, 15 kVA. What you had in mind was what? 25. So maybe because you needed at that time and the money was good, so you paid for it. So as you are using the 15 kVA, you still see the shortcomings. So you keep on saying that what we are getting is what? A 25 kVA. Then one day somebody walks in, maybe you use that one for about 2 weeks, and say, I saw somewhere they are selling for 25 kVA. Say, can we trade our 15 kVA, which is just 2 weeks old, in? Are you getting my point? What you are doing is you are making adjustments according to what you have said. Do you get my point? And that was what God said, did concerning Adam. He didn't just say, okay, Adam, I don't know how you can't be like this, but I'm going to leave you like that, Sha. No. He said, it is not good the way it is. Therefore, I will make a remedy for the shortcoming. Are you getting my point? Now, you see all these things as you are brooding and watching what is going on. Are you getting my point? It's not as if you just say, leave things be. No. Each time something happens, and that was why God didn't just say, let the earth come forth with all it contains. No. Light be. Vegetation appear. Waters gather. Animals appear. He took it one step after the other. Are you getting my point? And that is what we call, last week I discussed that, that's what we call what? Wisdom. We call it what? Wisdom. But you see, now I don't know why I'm going over that things. I'm saying it again so much. But actually, where I'm going, which I want us to understand, is the issue about the promise of God. Okay, I'm explaining about Abraham again. So you see, Abraham contemplated his body. It was while looking at it, he realized how dead it was. Are you getting my point? He looked at it, he realized the deadness of Sarah's womb. But the Bible said that what he used to judge the possible outcome was verse 20, with respect to the promise of God. Now, let me say that again. With what? Please, let's say it together loud. With respect. Now, let's shout it together. The promise of God. One, two, go.
The promise of God.
Now, this part I want to understand. That is, God had a promise concerning his dead body. God had a promise concerning the dead womb of Sarah. Are you getting my point? Listen, that was what he used to judge the situation, and that was what decided what he spoke about. Listen, as a believer, you must learn that principle. We are talking about creative power. I said there are two things that God gives us that makes us able to create like God. And God needs our creative abilities to effect the changes he wants on this earth. What are those two things I said last week? Wisdom and what? Power. It's not just power, but what? Wisdom also. That is knowing what to say, where to address the words, all right? Where to direct them towards, where the power of God should be focused upon at each particular point in time. Now, this is the power I'm talking about, because the promise of God is the power of God. Now, let me say that again. The word that God has given you concerning a situation is the power that God is using to tackle that situation in your life. Do you follow what I'm going to say? That is, look, there was nothing wrong with going to the promised land and go and look, and going to look at the giants. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, nothing wrong with that. The problem is what you now say as a result of the presence of the giants with respect to the promise of God. That was what differentiated Joshua and Caleb from the other 10 spies and the rest of the nation of Israel. That is, God said concerning them that you can take them. So they went in, they saw the giants and said, for that reason, we can't go in, the other 10 spies. But Joshua and Caleb said, even though there are giants, we can still take it. Now, let me tell you something. It's not as if the giants will just vanish. But if you, with respect to the promise of God, all right, look at the presence of the giants. One of the things that God gives is the wisdom on how to tackle giants. I don't know whether you heard me. If a giant is standing 11 feet tall and he has a sword that is longer than your whole length, listen, it's not easy to fight. And let me tell you something about the men of David, those men of war. Their skills were not spiritual. What I mean by they were not spiritual. They could teach the skill to somebody else. I don't know whether you heard me. You know, the problem with Christians is that we like things that are not explainable. Amen. Amen. I don't know what happened. But the power of God just came. Listen, my friend, it hardly happens like that. Most times that Jesus want to cross the sea, you know what he used to do? Borrow or rent a boat. Walking across water is one rare thing that he hardly did it in his whole life that was recorded, I think, 3 times. 2 before he died, 1 after. You see, it was a rare thing. Most times, he will be preaching and preaching. Then the crowd is so much, they want to touch him. He said, Peter, let me enter your boat. Push me further into the water so that nobody can get there. Why didn't he just float backwards? You think it's in a Chinese film? Listen. No be Chinese film. Now please get what I'm trying to say. The wisdom of God, all right? Was that not what he taught Solomon? Yes, Solomon could teach other people. People could come to Solomon and understand Solomon. They didn't come and say, what he's saying is just beyond us. Oh my God. But he has results. He has results to show. Results, results. Aren't nonsense. All this emphasis on results that don't emphasize the process. Look, don't let anybody fool you. Even Satan told you to get results. Jesus could have bowed and then would have gotten everything. He said he got results. Is that what we're asking for? But how did you get the results? You bowed to Satan. Are you getting my point? I'm talking about wisdom. That the skill of those men, okay, they could teach other people. What I mean is that after God had worked in them, Joshua and Caleb would discover something. That those giants, I have noticed something about them. If they are running, they can't break. As an example, I'm just adding my own to let you understand now. So you know what you see? What do you do? Next time you see a giant, show your face and start running. As he's taking a stride towards you, fall down and run back towards him. You will find that he finds it hard to slow down. That way you can thrust your sword into his groin from below. You see, So usually I have noticed that their reflexes makes them drop their sword when they are in great pain. Is that so? So next time, before you start fighting a giant, make sure he doesn't see you. Take a stone, crawl close to him, and stone him in the temple. Say, wow. Now, get my point. That is what the Bible calls what? Wisdom. That's why one person can teach another. The Bible said concerning Bezalel, that have put in him the spirit of the craftsman, not only to do good works, but to teach other people also. He had the spirit, but he could teach other people that spirit. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to say. That is why, listen, you advanced countries, things work well, but they don't go to church. The people who founded the work wellness of things, notice my English, where they manufacture periodically. The people that founded that principle upon which things worked well, they went to church. Go and listen to Kaman. Kaman will tell you that of all the men that wrote the American Constitution, all of them minus one or two were active members of their church. Most of them, a lot of them were even lay preachers. Some of them were real preachers. I was reading about is it Abbott, the man that wrote the book on physics. I heard about it. That he got an award for theology, not for physics. Michael Faraday was a lay preacher. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Those who founded the principles, who created the thing, who God passed the wisdom for creation through, they went to church. But because the way the wisdom of God works is like this, it gives you insight and understanding. Then you take the understanding and you can teach it to a Muslim if necessary. Then somebody learns it and says there is no God. Because he learned it from the connection between God and man. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to say here. He learns, you know, I used to say because of my profession, you know, as a pathologist. Most people that come to use our facility in the hospital, they don't know we exist, except there's a problem. Because they bring in a sample, it's dropped at the reception where there is a clerk who gives them a receipt and they go away and tells them come back in 4 days or 1 week or 2 weeks or 2 weeks depending. And he comes back, his result is in an envelope. And he takes it back to his doctor. He doesn't know who did the job. Who came out, took the specimen, examined it, cut it, put it under the microscope, gave it the final diagnosis. He has no idea because he interfaced only with one person. Are you getting my point? That's the way it is a lot of times with God. So people will say that, you see, you go to those countries, they don't go to church, but things work well. Ask them. Did their fathers go to church? Yes. Those who used to try to say that Russia was advanced, yet they didn't believe in God because of communism. It was, then me too, I was confused. When I began to learn, I said, nonsense. Number one, the foundation of Russia then, they believed in God. Armenia, one of those Russian republics, that's where Demos Shakarian's father came from. And when he got to Azusa Street, you've heard of Azusa Street Revival in America. When he got there looking for work, that is, he was going around the streets looking for work. He got to Azusa Street and said, oh, those things that we had back at home, they have it here also. You don't get my point? You know, I told you America controls the current day world. You know, so they tell you what to hear and what not to hear. They make you look like the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came down in this modern day into America. Not a lie. He went everywhere. Are you getting my point? The man went there and said, ah, that thing we had at home, that's the person doing this was Demon Shakarian's grandfather, actually. Because Demon Shakarian's father was a boy when they came out of Armenia and eventually left the U.S. This is what I'm making. The spirit of God was poured before communism took over. And why they broke down was that the thing that God taught them, they consciously removed it from the society. And eventually, over time, they had to crumble. Please, I hope you are getting my point. So that is wisdom. So when a man contemplates the promise of God, after contemplate or with the problem, and he chose to, let me say what we are contemplating now, with the problem, that is with respect to the promise of God. That is, you start with the premise that the promise of God is yes and amen. You know what I mean? Yes and amen. That is, it is confirmed. Nothing can prove it wrong. They say, everybody is going to die now. This is very terrible. He said, number one, God appeared to me in a dream, like Paul, and said, nobody is going to die. Now, having started from that perspective, whatever problem we encounter, we know it is supposed to be solved. I don't know whether you get my point. We know it's supposed to be solved. Joshua and Caleb, let me tell you something about the things of God. It's waiting to be poured out to anybody who opens his heart and opens his eyes and opens his hands to receive it from God. Joshua and Caleb, their own was that we cannot turn back from the giants. Are you getting my point? We will go in because God has said we can go in. How are we going to go in? We'll discuss that later. But for now, let us first agree that we are going in. When we have now agreed that we must go in because God has said we can go in, then God begins to give us the wisdom on how to go in. Until that time, everything will look difficult, everything will look terrible. Are you getting my point? That is why those who don't want to believe, they have enough reasons to refuse to believe. And those who want to believe will always find enough reasons to believe. They will always find. Because if you use the promise of God to face a situation, listen, my friend, you will always find a solution to the problems. The giants will eventually crumble. Are you getting my point? I was talking about the men of David. Who walked with David? Strong men. I believe that David taught them a lot of skills because David had some skills that nobody had before him. As a young boy, he knew how to handle the sling. You know, if he created a school of sling handling, anyone who graduates from that school will be a master sling handler, whether he believed in God or not. You get the principle. That's how it works. He contemplates with the promise of God. Therefore, the spirit of a channel is open. Listen, one of the films I've enjoyed most in life is this one called Matrix. That film is very powerful. It's with spiritual eyes. Now, occasionally I look at life and I look as if this... You know, my reason is because I know that the real world, like you say in that film, is spiritual. That's in our own real reality now. And I know that the things that we see are made out of things that are not visible. They are almost like imaginations, no, believe me, in which God is testing our spirits and training our spirits. Two things, testing and training. And testing again, having trained. Prove it. Do you get my point? You test, you see how bad it is, you train it, you test to see whether he has learned. Then, are you getting my point? Then you put a stamp on approval, tempted. That's literal Greek. No, listen, you said, don't talk about the trial of your faith. When those Miles Monroe explained it to us in one video I watched, he said that when you take a Roman sword, all right, after making the sword, the double-edged Roman sword, the professionals, the master craftsmen, after they've tested it, made sure he can withstand all the blows in the center of battle. There's a stamp they used to put on it. You know, if you buy equipment, they say tested, okay. Those days in Greek, it was what? Tempted. You know why Paul used to say that you have to rejoice, you know, in the midst of trials, afflictions, and temptations. So what God does is test our spirits, all right, train them, and then tempt them, put a stamp. This one is good. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Are you getting my point? So now, this is why I'm saying that. Now, so having understood that, I look at life sometimes. They say, China man makes things so cheap. A friend of ours was in our house yesterday, and we're discussing, he just came from China. China man makes things so cheap, you can't make it cheaper than them. We're discussing all those things. They are the current imaginations that we have believed. Are you getting my point? If God wants to make Nigerians make it cheaper, it's not hard. And that's where I'm going to go to next. What he needs is time and a willing heart to persuade somebody it can be done. Do you follow my point? Once the person has done it, believed it, then God begins to show him ways by which it can be done. Then when he has done it, the whole of the earth will say, now, wow, we did not know it could be done. Now it can be done. Now we know nobody can make it cheaper than Nigeria's girls. And look at these people. They'll go and teach a Cameroonian. That is the ways of God. When you say they're unsearchable, that is, you can't finish understanding them. As you are contemplating one, he opens another. Are you getting my point? Why did I say all of this? Is to let you know that literally, to him that believes, nothing is impossible. Nothing. Nothing. Because the Spirit of God will give him a wisdom with which he will do what people said could never be done. Now listen, that is the assignment of Christianity. Look, let me tell you something. Whew, so many things to say. I hope you are following me. All right? Now, let me tell you something about Christianity again. Now, we have said this, we talked about this a few weeks ago, and then on radio also. And that's about the aim of Christianity. Paul said that there is a goal I am going for. Are you getting my point? Now, let me use my own words now. Add many things together. This is what Christianity is. Talk about this creation thing. God wants to bring each person to a position in life where he will be able to receive the wisdom to create anything that God lays in his heart. Do you follow my point? Let me tell you something. I want to give myself an example. Hear it now. So you will know it very well. That I said it when it finally happens. I have said, for now, other things can happen, right? For now, the vision I have for ministry in this world is that one day, for now, I believe it will be in Enugu. That might change. I don't know. That we are going to have, that's Kingdom World Ministries. We have a place called Kingdom World Media Center. If you value it in Naira, it will be worth billions and billions of Naira. Are you getting my point? For what purpose? Number one, to maintain an international TV channel that 24 hours a day, you can be watching sound doctrine taught 24 hours a day. That every time I'm doing a seminar, it will be streamed live. Are you getting what I'm going to say? That is live. Anybody who just announced it, the seminar is starting 8 p.m. GMT. So and so date. From all over the world, just log on if you have a broadband internet and start watching it live. You don't have to come if you can't. That from there, shortwave will go out. You get what I'm saying? Shortwave will go out. What else? Of course, Gospel FM. You know what Cosmo would they use now? Everything we, that is, the idea is that from there, of course, if it is books, they are coming out in tens of thousands on a daily basis. New books, old books. It will expand to a level that it's not just only Pastor Bank you'll be hearing from there. Are you getting my point? I mean, it's not my job to dominate the earth. I'm a teacher. Bible says you can have many teachers. Amen. It's true, you can have many teachers. That's why I always encourage. If anybody tells that he's the only one who can teach, know already that he has learned nothing. Then what is he going to teach? Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. So it will, but the point I'm making is that, see, if you, what I have described, it will cost plenty of money to build and plenty of money to run. So where are you starting from? At least this is what I'm talking about. Periodically, I see things and then I'm modifying the vision. Before, because I had only been around in Nigeria and seen beautiful buildings in Nigeria, I was asking myself, how would a building be like this? And then, you know? Then when I went to Houston, I saw buildings. I said, good, Kingdom World Media Center will look like that. Now, you are getting 100. Then I began to see how beautiful things could be. I read Donald Trump's book, and it'll tell you how he changes the value of a hotel just by changing what the front looks like. The rooms have not changed. I say it's important, this will look good. Are you getting my point? Each time you brood. Now, I started from a point, it will be done. Not it can be done. It what? Will be done. Because of that, each time I go out, God gives me ideas on what should be done. Are you getting my point? That is why day one, I will say, let there be land. And there was land. Are you getting what I'm saying? Then, let there be a fantastic architectural design. And that time we pass, and that one we appear. It will be going one step after the other. Each point, God will give me a wisdom. This is the interesting part. When we are finished, people will not write books on the building and maintenance of an international gospel media center. You are following the point I'm making? And everyone asks, this is where foolishness is. He said, behold, I, the Lord, I do a new thing. Everybody after that want to copy everything that Pastor Banky and Kingdom World did. God said, there are more things in my, you know, in my drawer, in my storehouses that I haven't brought out. And if only you will dare to be yourself, you will see what I will create through you on the earth. Do you follow my point? One of the things you will say to me that will make me feel saddest most is to tell me I'm copying somebody. Number one, I don't. I have, like I said, I've had many teachers. Didn't copy from nobody. I just knew that I'm a teacher. I'm not a rabble-rouser. You know what I'm saying? Everybody get up, shout, jump. That is not banking. No, really. People who listen to me are usually very stiff, like you, all of you like this. Now you see where I'm sitting down straight. There are preachers who can't stand it. They will make you stand up, punch somebody in the nose, just do something. Now, what am I going to explain? I have come to understand that there is something, look, there are things that God has kept hidden that if you can believe, he will begin to give you the wisdom. Do you understand my point? And then when you now begin to speak according to the wisdom that he has given you, then power is what? Released. It says, seek from the book of the law and read. It said, none of this will fail, neither will any want her mate. Not because it is natural for them to be there. He said, but because the mouth of the Lord has spoken, therefore his spirit has gone out and has what? Gathered them. That's what I mean by power. But you see, you can't speak effectively. Let me end with that. Now, you can't begin to speak about that, like I said, until what? You are fully persuaded. And this is the issue. What persuades you is not mental effort. It is the spirit of faith that is inside your heart. Now, I'm not going to start talking about that today. All right? Is the spirit of faith that is inside your heart. Are you getting my point? That is what persuades you using the promises of God. Now, God takes the promise and time. Now, those things are very important. 25 years it took God to give Isaac to Abraham. It was because it took 25 years to fully persuade him concerning the coming of Isaac. There was some time ago, I read, of course, we have read the story about the widow. That Elisha used to stop in her house, pass by her door and stop to eat. And he spoke to, she was not a widow, sorry, the woman. And spoke to the husband and said, please, let's make a house, all right? That was a Shunem, right? All right. His man said, look, let's make a house. Remember the story. And then he now asked Gehazi, what can we do for this woman, for all these good things she's been doing? And then he said, I perceive that right now she doesn't have a child. And her husband is old. That's what Gehazi told Elisha. All right? And then Elisha called the woman. And said, by this time next year, you will embrace a son. And what the woman said? Don't lie to me, man of God. Did she give birth to a child? What happened to the child? He died. That's what I want to understand. She gave birth to a child. Then the child, what? Died. This is where I understand it. Sometimes the word of God is so powerful, it just has to come to pass despite you. But you can't hold it. You can't sustain it except you are persuaded. Elijah looked. This day, 2 measures of fine flour for a shekel. That's by next day. Baba pastor, you don't begin smoke. The guy, no. I know how it grieves a man of God's heart when you respond to him like that. The guy said, it will happen, but you won't hold it. He saw it, but God said, no, you won't eat it. No, you won't eat it. That's how the people shout nonsense about the country. Listen, we have prophesied enough. And I know it will happen according to what we have said. Are you getting my point? Unfortunately, if you are still laughing at those of us who supposedly are blind, then when vision comes, you will go blind. He said, he will not see when good comes. Is that not what he says? When good will now appear, then you will not go blind. Listen, God, I will share some things that are not related with us, to us, that I'll make teaching for a few minutes when I finish this, so that you'll be afraid of God. Yes. Because God's word, like we say, it will still come to pass. There's nothing, there are too many of us alive and believing for it not to come to pass. I was sharing with a friend yesterday. I said, I'm digressing now and I don't care. All right? I don't care anymore. I told him, I said, do you know the first person that tried to kill Moses after God commissioned him to ministry? Who can tell me? After God commissioned Moses into ministry, he said, go and deliver the children of Israel. Who was the first person that tried to kill Moses? Who? Not Pharaoh. It was God himself, thank you. Pharaoh said, all right, fine. He went home. And then one night, God appeared with a sword in his hand. Say, where is he? Zipporah said, who? Moses, your husband. What are you concerning? Concerning the sword. I won't kill him. Ah. You say I should go and deliver. He said, just watch me. I will kill him and I'll still deliver them. It will just take a longer time. And when God went after Moses, Zipporah said, okay, thank you. I understand. He quickly took their first son, circumcised him, and God said, God save you. Put his sword back and walk out. I told my friend yesterday, I said, God was the first person that tried to kill Moses. He said, why? Because he did not circumcise his son, which means he did not believe the gospel that he preached to him. God is very funny. He commissioned him, go and deliver. He said, but you want to deliver? Fine, go. They now went and said, well, there are two sides to me. This is the side that puts people in order. What am I going to say? When things are happening every day. I told my friend yesterday, when we discussed it, I said, I refuse to be carried away. I refuse to be distracted from my ministry. I said, because I understand that the same person who commissioned Moses was the one who tried to kill him. After you have shouted and shouted and shouted, you insult God so much, he kills you. I don't know where I get my point. That's how it is with the promise of God. God tells you something, tells you one thing, you don't hear, you don't believe, you are just walking with sense knowledge alone. Then God comes and what? And I'm telling, let me leave that out. It's a distraction. But no, that thing is it's a terrible thing, the Bible says, to fall into the hand of the living God. If you're a child of God, this is my own personal, and I think I'm talking to myself and my wife, all right? No, really. If God had trained you over years, especially as a minister, that's the one that concerns me, and you let all this joke that people do in town these days, trying to get money, do this, become famous, he has ministry, you let it carry you away, you're about to make your wife a widow. That's not part of our message. I don't know why I'm preaching it. Somebody must be asking me questions in his heart. Sorry, I'm disjointing the things I'm saying. Let me sit on my message, I beg. I said I didn't care about distraction. Now I think I really care. Let me end my message properly. But actually, what I'm trying to explain actually is that with God, his promise, I said at the beginning that I want to say something about being fully persuaded, okay, and what? The promise of God. And I said that this is the center of Christianity. That you will get to a point of that full persuasion that everything that God wants to do through you will come out of you naturally. That is, you describe something great and people are saying it can't be done, but to you, you can't see why it can't be done. It is so clear, you have the wisdom of how to do it. I don't know whether you get my point. You already have the idea of how to do it. Now, the ideas can fail occasionally. That is why occasionally you look and say it is not good. Therefore, you make a helpmate for that one that was not good. Are you getting my point? But you know you are going there. Now, I'm going to explain something. That's actually why I began to go that way. Christianity is not funfair. It's not play-play. It's not Sunday, it's going to be an exciting Sunday tomorrow. Oh, what happened? That guy can jam. Man, the guy jumped so much. We danced and danced and danced and danced and danced. When you finish dancing and reporting the dance, you dance, you sit, settle down. He said, hey, so what's going to happen? He said, this country is a useless country. Let me just tell you. The Nigeria is without form and void, and darkness is upon the surface of the deep. Therefore, let's just get out. So all your dancing yesterday, what was it for? It has not strengthened your heart in any measure to believe God more than you believed in the day before. Then you have danced in vain, you have danced in the flesh, you are of all men most miserable with your dance. Do you follow my point? Listen, for me, that's how I take church. Oh God, don't let me get distracted again. That's how I take church. I take it seriously that, listen, one or two things must be happening. I'm either building up somebody's faith or somebody's building up my faith. I won't come to any place to come and play with anybody. Who want to play? We'll go to Premier Club, you know. Yeah, Enugu Sports Club. There are places to drink beer and play. You get my point? I mean, you go to one Gulda viewing room when they are playing a UEFA Cup and sit down and watch a 72-inch plasma TV. Hey, Ronaldo, drink your Gulda. There's nothing wrong with it. It's periodic. Just to do it often. But once you enter the presence of God, play, don't finish you. Because the earth, you know, I was listening to Pastor David Ogbeni, all right, on TV, on radio, 2 days ago. It was a pity I had to come down. I went somewhere. I was listening in the radio in my car. All right? But it really pained me because I couldn't hear everything. Two of them were talking. I don't know the name of the other guy, but it's a member of a friend of his. And they were talking about change. You know, how foreign countries are good and Nigeria can become like that once people reorient their minds. Are you getting my point? And it pained me that I had to come down. I was driving and I was listening and I had to come down somewhere so I couldn't continue listening. But as they were speaking and speaking, there was something that the pastor was saying about the importance of telling people the truth about the word of God, you know? That's changing their hearts, changing their attitudes about things. You know, as he was talking, I received commission again from God. You know, good enough, God has given us 1 hour to talk anything we want to talk on radio now. 30 minutes twice a week, 8:30 on Monday, 7:30 on Thursday. I told myself, I've eaten more fire than I've ever eaten before in my life. No, my own is that, why I'm saying so? Because I realized that nothing is going to change. Listen, I want to say this is not a joke. Nothing is going to change until Banky talks. Now, I don't mean people talk. I don't know whether I hear what I said. I'm not saying until preachers begin to talk or people begin to talk. I have realized that nothing is changing until Banky talks. And I have a message first for Eastern Nigeria, then the rest of Nigeria. No, really. And what am I preaching now? This is what I'm going to explain. Because as the word goes out, it's persuading people to stop doing the works, all right, that pushes us backwards. This is the power of a strong spirit. Let me tell you, please, children of God, I'm talking about creative ability. God does not use everybody to create anything. But occasionally, he builds up strength into you 1, 2, 3 people who allow him to do it. And the strength of their spirit will deliver a whole nation. When they left Egypt, only Moses believed. Aaron, I don't know why God chose that fellow. Only him understands. That guy was a stark unbeliever. Miriam, not that here nor there. Fide is small. Just walk with Moses. Joshua and Caleb were trained on the way. In my opinion, only one person believed. Okay, maybe Miriam believes more. Then when Moses doesn't show up for 2 days, they said, Aaron, build the calf. He said, which one do you want? Antelope or... He said, you're saying it's a cow. All right. I don't get anything for here. We will give you offering. You're a priest. You're used to offering. They dumped him on him. Then Moses said, what have you done? He said, it's not me. It is them. They brought their earrings. I put it inside the fire. Then by a process of change, this calf walked out. That's what he said. He said the calf came out. Why God chose him as high priest? Only him understands. But I think that was why he chose him as high priest. I don't want your opinion. Whatever I tell you to do. Yes, sir. Don't even understand my ways. That's why he will say to Aaron and to his children, thus he will bless. Aaron did not even know how to bless people. Moses will say, Aaron, come. He said, yes. Say, the Lord bless thee, the Lord bless thee. Lord keep thee, the Lord keep thee. Top his countenance upon you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace. So, repeat it again. He says it. Anytime somebody says, bless me, sir, just recite it. You know what God told him? You will be God to Aaron. What am I going to say? Only Moses believed. Only Moses. The rest were crying. Didn't believe Jack. They were what? Crying. Once they brought them out, they said, hey! Then they said, why did you bring us out? They didn't believe anything. Joshua and Caleb, I believe that along the way, God taught them, trained them. Not be them. It was Moses alone. Do you know? That was why Moses died. You don't know. Finally, no, that was, no. What I want to say is not a joke. I mean it literally. God knows I'm saying it with all persuasion. That was why he died. He carried these people who didn't believe anything. The day God said, let me kill them. He said, no. God said, this guy. Okay. No, what actually happened? Spiritual things work like mathematics. There are different ways of calculating and reaching the same end result. God said, I was going to kill them. You said, kill me first. All right. Be it unto you according to your faith. Then finally, one day, they died and Moses still died. Why did Moses not enter the promised land? One simple reason. The rest of the nation of Israel. Period. He personally carried them. At the time it was so heavy, he begged God, please, I need help. God now took off his spirit. To tell you, it was his spirit that was carrying them and put it on 70 other people. Are you getting my point? There's a principle I'm trying to bring out. In the same manner till today, he said, when will the whole of the nation change? The whole nation does not just change. One person, two people, a few people make them change. Usually those people, they lose a lot in the process. No, they do. They do. You suck. I told that most of our gospel, they're not balanced. They are gospel for children. No, believe me. They are gospels for children. Paul said, I feel in my body, in my flesh, that which is lacking in the suffering of Christ. Do you know that? So get some kind of suffering which Jesus not to finish. He reserves us for people like us. He reserves our people like us. And you must suffer it with joy. All this whining and grumbling, they took ordinary light. There should be a day you tell yourself, Father, to tell you that I won't grumble again. When they take this light in the midst of this heat, I will not fan myself. I won't put on generator. I will lie on this floor and suffer till morning. I'm telling you, it sounds funny. You should do this once in a while. But you have generator. No generator. You will lie down in the darkness. Abraham's blessings are mine. Say, find yourself. I told the Lord, I'm not going to find myself. You will fall asleep inside the sweat and wake up in the morning. When you wake up next, you won't grumble again. Then God will bless you one day abundantly. All those times of heat, when you could have gone to where there's plenty of Nepa that does not fail, it's called sufferings of Christ. And glories always follow. What am I going to explain? It's spirits that have been developed, are you getting my point? That will stand up one day and influence the whole nation. One man will stand up and influence a whole nation. Believe me, corruption can vanish from Nigeria in a year. That they will say when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, it was like a dream. It can happen. Idiagbo and Buhari ruled for a few weeks. We learned to queue up sharp. You know that? You get to a bus station, you line up. Lagosians that couldn't see express and not cross it just for the fun of it, they saw express and went the other way. I'm telling you. They said, war against this indiscipline. It was what? War. Do you know Mahatma Gandhi alone taught India. Alone. I remember one thing he said once when it was one of his fast to stop a war that was going on between the Muslims and the Hindus. Is it the Hindus, right? Yes. So one of his men came to see him. Oga, eat now. He said, no. He looked at the man and said, you are very fat. I think you should join me in my fast. The guy said, Oga, you know, if I fast, nobody notices. But you, one day you don't fast, the whole world will notice. I said, this man has just told the truth. Don't join him in the fast, it won't work. Because he said, look, Mahatma Gandhi is not eating because we are fighting. Everybody stopped fighting. It's not just they were beating him. It was a spirit a man was throwing into the air. They had to reconcile. The other man didn't have it. He told him simply, Oga, if I fast, I'll just die for nothing. I'm just now to explain the power of strong spirits. And let me leave that with you as a child of God. That's what God has called you to be, a strong spirit. You know, I'm tired of this whining and complaining, and everything about the gospel must please you. It's just the one that pleases me. Any man that has not been tried, you have not lost something for the gospel, your spirit has not been built. Are you getting my point? Think it's a joke to be a prince and then become a shepherd 40 years in the wilderness until you start stammering. You know, before he was a confident man, a prince of Egypt. The next time they say, will you go to Egypt? He said, you don't know, I can't talk. No, beg. Joke, stop him. That's 40 years of pounding, of suffering. The meekest man on the earth. This is not a joke. They just wake up in the morning. I was born meek. Except you have brain damage. Nobody's born meek. Some of these quiet people are very, very, very wicked. No, all these quiet people. Very, very stubborn. So no, all these quiet people, they're not the born person, born meekness. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's training. When you stay in the wilderness 40 years, you will learn meekness through the things that you suffer if you have the right spirit. That's what happened to Moses. Next time they came, he was like, look, the man had given his life for sheep. Son, don't beat on his head. Look, he has realized that this life, there's nothing worth living for apart from affecting your generation and being a blessing to other people. God said, oh, the meekest man on the whole earth. Thinks that is not, when he was in the, is he meek man that kills people for quarreling? When he was in Egypt, wasn't he meek nothing? Oh God, I beg. Let me end this message so that you can go home. But I hope you have gotten the point I'm making. It's when God has built up your spirit, I'm telling you, that you become a creator for God. Listen, that was what Christianity is. That's why you must stop whining and complaining. He said he was going to marry me, didn't marry me again. So, you won't. That's all. Marriage. That's all. Nothing more than that. He said, yes, sir. And he never suffered anything. Wait till they fix the wedding date and doesn't show up that day. Then you know the call is over. No, really, we must learn how to handle affliction is crucial for every Christian. Because without the knowledge of that, you can't really walk in a manner pleasing to God. You can't. Whining about everything. Listen, this earth won't change, like I was telling you, until you do what God expects you to do. And I have realized that me as a person, I am crucial to the plan of God for this nation. I know I am. This speaker's where you see where we buy so. It's not to decorate this place so they can hear me louder. If we increase the volume now, this thing can shout. In fact, look at where the thing is, even the frequency. If we increase this volume, you can't stay here. So why did we buy it? Because next year, from January till December, or maybe from February till December, we are carrying seminars all over the East. Start from Oka, go to Abakaliki, you go to Newu, go to... Not only this, I'm stopping at Agbo. You know why? Because I noticed that they're already hearing us in Agbo. I am going to... No. That's... My job is fill the heart of these people with the knowledge of God like the waters cover the seas, and they will change. I don't care whether they believe or not. I know I have the spirit to make them change. Let them not be persuaded. The Nigerians who behave properly when they get to America, waiting to them. No, they enter the place, the spirit in the air tells them, oh boy, you know, I read Junction today. Zemeka and I went out. Say, see the Nigerians. So what did they have for front? Nothing. Nothing but indiscipline happened in front. Roundabout that you should know, give way to traffic on your left. Include the man that knows he can't go. He only succeeds in blocking everybody. He go put his stupid nose. Hi. I told him a story of one day. One evening, I think, yes, that day. Yeah, it was after my brother-in-law had left me alone to drive around in Houston. A big junction like this, I saw the traffic lights were faulty. So when they are faulty, they start blinking red, which is essentially a stop sign. If you know the number of crossings, I saw the volume. I said, all right, let's see what's going to happen. I finished what I was doing, came out, entered the road, and I was just watching. Now, Houston is America's fourth largest city. Understand? So imagine the volume of traffic in a big junction with no traffic warning. The traffic lights were not working, just blinking red. Everyone blinked. That's what they call it. It's working as a stop sign. So each person will crawl up there, break for a second, wait for the person who got there before him or her to cross. Then when he senses that he's the next, he moves. And like that, there was no obstruction at that traffic point. I said, carry this thing, go Lagos. Nobody go reach house today till 3 a.m. Nobody. No guy. They ain't going nowhere. They're not going to. You just see one mole, you just go, he's not just going to center. Boy, stop for there. And if Nenugu Molde is there, we go flat, then we sit down there and call the mechanic from Okunano to come on the way to 9th Mile. And especially to understand, I start jacking and say, what happened? The axle will break. Wait. Go to camp. They will forge a new one. Then all of us will wait. It's in discipline. It's in the heart. It's wickedness. It's in the heart. Are you getting what I want to say? But people will change. When those who God has built strong spirits in rise up and begin to change things. Believe me, Nigeria is good already. I've stopped praying for things that have been delivered to me. I just declare accordingly that I have them already. Goodness is already appearing. Are you getting my point? Mercy is already our portion. I will declare, those who rise up against me will not fall for nothing. If we speak what is right and you get up with a strong voice to speak against it, I will look at you and say, God, look at this man. I won't curse anybody. Say, Lord, look at this Alexander the ghost, is it the silversmith, blacksmith, coppersmith, one of those smithy things, yeah? Doing me much great, is it much evil? But reward him according to his works. There are times men will sleep, they don't wake up next morning. They didn't drink poison. God just said, no, you are spoiling good works that have begun. Are you getting my point? Wait, what have I said today? I hope, I don't even know where I said from again. But I've ended it by saying that, there are people that create for God. They have a strong spirit that can override all the nonsense that exists on the earth. And that is the power of Christianity. That's what I'm going to say. Christianity is not about learning how to pray for a new shirt. Let me say this to you. Christianity is learning how to give God thanks when the shirt is not new. That's the most important thing. It's not just about praying for a new shirt. Christianity is that I have believed God for a new house. The old one I had, I got kicked out. First day outside on the streets, I still lift my hands and say, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Then God said, this guy's spirit is strong. One day I will make him create homes for multitudes. That's how it works.